and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shay Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome aboard to New Retirement Radio on WTCM with Prout Financial Design, with one Mr. Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner, and Heidi Thompson is in.
That's right. This is my first show of the year, so it's great to be back.
Radical.
So, yeah.
Well, welcome, Heidi. It's good to be back here as a team, and it's great to have you joining us. Good morning, everyone. All you listeners out there now, believe it or not. Okay, I know you're going to have a hard time with this, but I recognize that most of the air has been taken out of the room by all the bloviating in Washington, D.C., but there is still some left, and we still have something else to talk about.
Still something to talk about. Your money, your retirement, your life.
You bet. So, in essence, how do we take control of our own financial situation? Because they have their areas of control. We have ours. And isn't it good to remember, as I was walking into the radio station this morning, right?
Yes.
This morning. Here.
Right here.
And
today.
Now, I said to myself, you know,
self,
they can do what they want there. What can I do? What can we do about our situation here in little old Traverse City, Michigan? Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So there's something to be said for that, I think. It was an encouragement to me as I strolled in, and I hope it is an encouragement to you, because we have so much to talk about and so little time. I haven't picked out the music. There was some song, but it's since left the ether sphere, if you will. So
you've forgotten.
Sorry, I can't help there. But what are we going to be talking about? What are you going to be talking about, Dennis? The top IRA rulings of 2020, and believe me, in looking at the future, you will want to know some of this. Now, if I can't guarantee that you want to know all of it. I have always had to be careful with those guarantees, being in this financial industry. Heidi's also going to be talking about how Social Security can impact you in the future.
Right.
And how it may impact you dearly.
And how the COVID pandemic has impacted some considerations in that area.
So not everyone in the Social Security office was wearing their mask? Is that what happened?
I don't think that's quite it.
They were skirting the rules again, Ron. I mean, we really have to keep an eye out for these people doing that, don't we?
Yes, we do. All right. Before you get into IRA rulings and Social Security.
A question from the audience. Yes, Ron?
Yes, hello? Not me. We have an actual caller here.
Oh, really? Okay.
I've lost my computer screen, so I'm not sure who it is. I'll just ask. Jim.
This
it's Jim on the line.
Caller.
Jim in Acme?
Traverse City.
Oh, Jim in Traverse City. Hello, Jim.
Hey,
oh, that Jim.
I agree 100% with him about planning your finances, and I think a budget is central, and I know everybody hates it, but you got to look at a budget the other way. If it's too tight, you need to figure out how you're going to increase your income. I use a budget to moderate my hours, because I will just keep working and working, and a budget allows me to say, hey, I don't need to earn that income. So when I look at a budget, I think it's a blessing, and I know that's odd for most people.
You know, that is a great point. So it allows you to have a family.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I first got a budget, I worked 129 hours, and my wife yelled at me and said I was working too much.
Mm-hmm.
So the next week, I told her, okay, I'm going to work less, and I worked 126. and she still yelled at me, even though it was less. And I sat down with her, and I said, look, I don't know how much money we need, so I will just keep earning and putting it in the bank. And we had lots of money. And after she finally came to me and said, this is what I need for the household bills, and we went through it, I cut my hours to 80 And I was like, man, this is like part-time. What it also allowed me to do, and this is what a budget is really good at, is I eliminated some of the people I didn't like to work with, okay? Mm-hmm. Without a budget, you're stuck working for somebody that you may not want. If you save some money and your boss is a jerk, you may be able to go and find another job that's more appropriate to your situation. Mm-hmm. And without a budget, you will never know if you could do that. I mean, a budget is so crucial to having a happy, successful life. And I don't understand why so many people look at it and say, oh, it's terrible, it's horrible. If it's so terrible and horrible, you need to adjust your income and figure out how you can increase your income to make that budget bearable.
All right, so you can
get rid of some of the fluff in your life.
You can, if you have a budget, you too can cut down the hours of that you work to 80 each week by having a budget. Cut down to 80 hours, Dennis.
Well, Jim, I certainly appreciate the phone call because, honestly, I was thinking what a great phone call to have at the very beginning of the year for those who wondered perhaps about the negativity of having a budget. But what great conversation to have a listening audience to have a phone call I never would have anticipated. But seriously, what great advice. So, Jim, kudos. Thank you. Appreciate the call.
A quarter after the hour. Jim, thanks for the call. And Traverse, as Dennis and Heidi are in, what did you talk about? IRA ruling, the best IRA rulings of the year?
The top IRA rulings. Top IRA, 2020. And the Secure Act, how will we take payments for those who follow on for children and or for those who are more than 10 years difference in age? So, in essence, a sister inheriting an IRA from another sister who is less than 10 years younger than the deceased sister would be an eligible designated beneficiary. What does that mean, Heidi, for the sister inheriting?
Well, if you're an eligible designated beneficiary, that means that you can still use the stretch option when you inherit an IRA, which means you can base your required minimum distributions on your life expectancy rather than those who are not.
Rather than a 10-year time frame.
Exactly.
Which could be huge. It might wind up being a third to a half of what you'd normally have to take. Now, while we wouldn't be happy, of course, with having lost a sibling, being a beneficiary of that sibling's IRA account can mean that you don't have to take near the amounts out of that account because you don't have to take the typical lump sum. So part of these decisions are, what's the optimal way to take distributions from these accounts? Would it be level payments, a lump sum, or cash in the IRA upfront and reinvest the net proceeds? That's the first point in terms of what the Secure Act means. And in terms of how those distributions will be taken, what's the best way to do it? It's not really going to make a difference nearly as much, if you will, if there's a $20,000 IRA. But what if that IRA amount is $200,000?
Right.
Or $500,000.
That can make a big difference to the beneficiary and how much tax they're paying.
Yes.
You could bump yourself into a higher tax bracket, or there could be other ramifications.
So, in essence, it means more responsibility for you and your children, but also your financial advisor to help you determine what's the best way, and or your children, what's the best way to draw these funds. How do we best do it?
Right. You want to use those strategies available to give you the optimal pathway of getting that money out of that IRA in 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Then, summary of key rulings. Roth IRA conversions will gain popularity provided income tax rates remain moderate. And I'm sure they will remain moderate. Wouldn't you agree, Ron?
No comment.
He's unduly influencing.
I'm out of the prediction business. I know I couldn't even take a crack at predicting anything
anymore.
Isn't
that crazy right now?
But the incoming administration has referenced they would raise some of the tax rates.
Yes.
Yes.
Right now, we also have the new tax rates for 2021 tax planning. And they're pretty much as they were in 2020. We'll see whether those are adjusted upward with the new administration. That would mean that, obviously, Congress would have to go along with any of those tax increases. And, you know, I don't know that that would be the case or not. We'll have to wait and see. You bet.
All right.
Next, the start of required minimum distributions has been postponed. The start of required minimum distribution. I didn't do my proper lip exercises before I came in to warm things up here, Ron. That's the problem.
Round and round the rugged rock ran the ragged rascal.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a good one.
That's excellent.
Delineation. The start of required minimum distributions has been postponed until age 72, but qualified charitable distributions can still be executed at age 70 and a half or older. You can still shoot those things as though it's fish in a barrel. Qualified charitable distributions can still be done at age 70 and a half or older. Now, what would this mean for somebody having to take an RMD, Heidi?
Well, one thing to keep in mind here at the beginning of the year with QCDs is it's really something you want to think about right now. A lot of people do their charitable contributions at the end of the year. But if you are planning to offset a required minimum distribution with a qualified charitable distribution, you want to think about that earlier in the year versus later, because the first money to come out of the IRA is going to be counted against your required minimum distribution.
Okay. So for someone who doesn't necessarily need all of their RMD required minimum distribution for income, you want to take that portion that you're able to, that you don't necessarily need, as a QCD, qualified charitable distribution. So let's use numbers. Let's say your required minimum distribution is $15,000. All right, I don't need all that $15,000. I need $10,000. Well, I also am thinking in this particular instance of giving $5,000 to my local church for a building program or whatever it might be. In that instance, it would make more sense, as you were saying, Heidi, to give that $5,000 through the QCD to your church, to the church of your choice for that particular project, because it's not taxable income to you then.
Right.
Now, versus the other way, you took that RMD throughout the year, $15,000, and then at the end of the year you said, oh, yeah, I want to give some of this IRA money to the church. Well, that means that all of that RMD then is taxable.
Right. Instead of paying taxes on income of $10,000, if you had given it earlier in the year, you're still paying tax on the full $15,000, even though you're still making a contribution to the charity. And with not having those itemized reductions anymore on the tax forms, you don't always get credit for some of those charitable contributions you can make. But
what most cases you're not going to get it, because the standard deduction is up to $25,000 for a couple this year. Plus, for anyone who is over 65, the extra standard deduction is $1,350, taking it to about $26,000 plus.
On that standard deduction, so suppose you gave $50,000 in donations, charitable donations. Because you broke the barrier of $26,000 or whatever, is all $50,000 tax deductible or only that?
In essence, it is, because the standard was already at $26,000. Okay. So in that case, the balance of $24,000 is deductible.
Okay.
So the full amount is deductible in essence. Okay. Yes.
Right.
So before we get into all the tax ramifications here of the coming new year, Heidi, we're going to also discuss some of the Social Security issues of the day. What have we?
Well, I was reading this newsletter about Social Security that comes to us through our EdSlot relationship, and some interesting things came to light in this article. And what they talk about is, you know, we hear about and we see the things that are going on around us, but sometimes we need to have things pointed out that show us the ramification of things and how that will affect us. So I thought this was an interesting point. So they talked about how last year we started the year with a 3.6% unemployment rate in the U.S. in January. And then we got during the COVID and with all the shutdown going on, that rate rose to 14.7%. And this was the highest rate in the history of data tracked by the U.S. Bureau of Statistics since 1948. So we had double-digit unemployment all the way through last July. So this, because of this, there are economic ramifications mm-hmm. that go towards thinking about some things with Social Security.
So actually Social Security has been impacted or could be impacted from this as well versus the regular economy.
Exactly. So they talk about two major impacts. And the first impact is there is going to be a much lower national average wage index, which is what the Social Security Administration uses to track the earnings of individuals in order to compute benefits. So this will have a significant negative impact on monthly benefit amounts for people who turn age 60 in 2020.
So because those average income amounts are lower, it could indeed have an impact on their benefits in the future when they decide to start collecting, whether it's 62 or somewhere all the way up to age 70. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying, because they do a two-year look back when they're determining these things. So for the people turning 60, that's 2 years from now, they'll be 62.
Mm-hmm.
They would be able to start their benefits, and it's going to affect that number. So according to the actuary in this article, the AWI, and remember that's that average wage index, is going to decline in 2020, and it might be around 6%. And just for to give you an idea of how big that is, the impact in 2009 was 1.5. So 6% is a little bit more dramatic.
Four times.
So, yeah. Now, yeah. I don't know anybody who was born in 1960, but you might, Ron, I mean, or others in our listening audience as well. So yeah. 60 is, you know, kind of a common age these days. It is part of the baby boom sector, isn't it?
Yeah. So you're saying the average wage index, people earned less on a whole.
Exactly.
Okay.
Either they had to cut back their hours, so they're earning less on average, or they lost their jobs, people aren't working. And add to that, people who rely on their income, small business owners. Maybe they're not open anymore, so but they're not earning.
I thought they calculated, though, individually, they looked at your top 30 or 35 earning
35
years?
35 years, yeah.
Right, but the base that they look at, that all the benefits are, it includes that index. It's part of the formula.
So that part of the formula having been down by, what percentage was that again, Heidi? 6-something percent?
It was an estimated, because they don't know for sure yet, 6%.
6% even, mm-hmm. Yeah.
The number of deaths, it's a little morbid here, but the deaths are up in this country, partially due to COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them are over 70. I wonder, that means not collecting Social Security.
Sure.
If that impacts Social Security's liquidity or whatever, you know, the status, if they're paying out a lot less now than they thought they would, how that impacts. But
we've not seen those numbers yet.
Right.
Sure. Yeah.
So they had one other. We talked about two major impacts. The second one is just what we were referring to, just the amount of money coming into the Social Security Trust fund because of lower hours, lower wages, people losing jobs. So we're looking there then the impact on the program solvency. And they said that impact could be 1 to 3 years. And we know, we talked about here on the show last year how when they did the audit, we were looking at, what was it, like 2035, 2032,
correct.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're talking about there, where there something is going to need to be done in the future to figure out how we're going to go forward to be able to meet the obligations to pay Social Security.
From the Social Security Trust Fund itself.
Yeah. Exactly. So... Yeah. One of the key things for people individually, this is all big stuff and big theory, but is when you choose to start your Social Security, because according to the study in this article, 96% of Americans are not filing at the right time to receive their optimal Social Security benefit. And I know that's something we do, Dennis, at our office. When we go through a financial plan, we have a whole chart where we look at what is the impact of claiming Social Security at different ages.
Which is a huge thing. I mean, literally. And you've probably seen these quotes. Well, that's a $100,000 difference. I don't know. Is it really? Well, it depending on your life expectancy and whether or not those who follow you will be collecting their own benefit or yours. So there are a lot of variables there. But the variables that you can control, perhaps waiting a bit can make a significant difference. Now, obviously, if you decide to not take it at 62, you don't have to wait until you're 70 to change your mind and start taking it. If you've said in your mind, I'm going to wait till 70, you could always decide to wait till your full retirement age, which may be 67 to take it, or whatever age in between. You'll need to give Social Security about 2 to 3 months to start your benefits. So you can start that at any time you wish. And, you know, if you change your mind within the first year, you can pay it back in and act as though you never even collected it. Who thought of that, eh? As though you never did. So you get a brand new job and you say, oh, my goodness, I don't need this income. Kind of a nice place to be. Pay it all back in. Treat it as though you never collected. And crazy stuff.
And then wait longer, and your benefit, the longer
it
you wait,
only
the
increases
higher your
by about 8% per year.
8% a year.
Given any regular longevity, your payback is about, if you were to wait all the way to age 70, about 10 years or so. Again, think about not only your own benefit, your longevity, your income needs, as well as those that follow.
And you want to look at your portfolio, too. Do you have big 401k balances? Maybe you want to whittle those down before you have to take RMDs.
May make an incredible difference in terms of taxes. You're paying today's tax rates. Social Security is only at the max 85% taxable, where 100% of your 401k balance usually is taxable in and of itself. So a significant part of our practice, a relatively large part of our practice is tax advice, and that's only going to increase, I think, as we go forward.
Right.
What else do we have, Heidi?
Well, that finishes the section that I was talking about with that. And next week, I'll have more. I don't know.
Great. Yeah, we're getting some great information from Heather Schreiber, who is affiliated through Ed Slotin Company, Social Security Advisor. Much appreciated. Thank you, Heidi. There was a question in regards to...
Let's see. We had a text question. Is there a flat fee for an initial consultation with you, or are further fees structured accordingly to those of us who think we may never be able to retire?
There is no initial fee for an initial consultation and no obligation. So it is a one-hour, no-obligation meeting. And you just call Meg or Deanne at the office. The phone number there, 231-947-3992. For continuing consultations, you can be a consulting client, and we charge accordingly based on the number amount of time that you have with us, which we can go into that detail as needed with you.
Yep.
All right. Great. So, next, a summary of key rulings here. Taxes for 2021 age restrictions for contributions to traditional IRAs have been removed. Age restrictions removed. Well, why can that help me? Well, you're 73 years old. You have all your monies in 401ks. You don't have to take, that particular 401k is where you're working and you're not a 5% owner, you don't have to take distributions from that account, RMDs. So you could theoretically deduct 100% of that IRA contribution, given your income limits are within the range, and save the tax. Or you could put it into a Roth IRA. $7,000 for anyone over the age of 50 is the maximum contribution for 2021.
And the only thing I would say there is if you plan to do that, if you're planning to make traditional contributions to an IRA and you're over 70 and a half. You want to make sure that you talk to your financial advisor, because there is a little bit of an impact on your ability to do QCDs. So you just want to make sure you talk that through with a financial advisor so that you don't fall into that.
Like us at Prout, Heidi knows those rules. So do I. You know, you don't always want to hear the details, but that's good stuff, because there are ins and outs of that. And how it's amazing how you can bend these retirement accounts to meet your needs. Obviously, you have to follow the rules, but if you know the rules, man, then you can play the game.
It's like a chessboard.
It is a chessboard. Absolutely. Taxpayers can use self-certification for late rollover relief. Okay. Self-certification, much cheaper than paying $10,000 to the IRS to get that certification done, right? With lack of a beneficiary designation, without a beneficiary designation, decedents, or the person who passed away, 401k goes to the surviving spouse rather than to children from a prior marriage. Yep. That was a ruling that Kinder Morgan versus Joanne Kraut, actually a ruling that came down this last year. So if you don't name your beneficiary on your 401k, your spouse is going to get the money. Well, I'd like my spouse to get the money. You would? Okay, very good. Well, you might want to name him or her then. What if there are children from a prior marriage that you'd like to get named? Well, your current spouse will have to sign off on that if he or she does. And you name your children as primary beneficiaries, then that indeed will be the case. Just like that, they received it. And so you did that planning with the snap of a finger.
Right.
The power of these beneficiaries is crazy.
Crazy.
The beauty of them, properly done, is also incredible. So it is not a good thing to not have named a beneficiary, or especially if you can name primary and contingents on these retirement accounts. The retirement accounts, the life insurance, the annuities, all these retirement assets travel by beneficiary. Why would you leave that up to a court to try to figure out? What did John want? What do you think? I don't know. Yeah. I didn't talk to him.
And so even if you say, that's okay, we have a will, that doesn't count, does it?
Oh, goodness. Ew. It doesn't count. The beneficiary form trumps the will every time. Sorry, I mentioned that name, Trump. Uh-oh. I shouldn't have done that. I couldn't help myself. It just happened.
I used to say that all the time. Now I don't say that.
Now you don't use that word, trumps, anymore. Oh, goodness. For those of you who still play the peppers, not the game, euchre, sorry.
Is that euchre? Anyway,
yeah. Waiver of the 60-day rollover deadline not granted when the taxpayer used IRA money for a home purchase on the advice of a real estate agent. So don't get retirement plan advice from a real estate agent. Get real estate advice from a real estate agent, not retirement advice. So you'll need to make an extra phone call. Can I do this? Well, what kind of retirement account is it? In some cases you can, in some not. A surviving spouse can roll over a deceased spouse's IRA despite not being named as beneficiary, because the beneficiary rules, according to the Department of Labor, apply in those types of retirement accounts, 401ks. That's why in the previous example, that money went to the spouse, because that's what the Department of Labor says, in spite of a big fight in the local court. And that local court said the federal rules apply in this case. Hmm. Given those federal rules, they cannot circumvent those. Now, so, yeah. All right. Did we have another question here, Ron?
I'm looking at all the sources here. No, I thought I had one there, but I do not.
I did too. Okay, right, so we need to do our Shea stats, shall we?
We can do the Shea stats, which are recorded. So if you have comments afterwards on any
you
of
bet
this,
we'll weigh in on those.
We'll see. Here's Shea Pataja with the Shea stats.
Good morning. Are you ready for some Shea stats? These ones are interesting, or I guess we can say the entire last year has been interesting with the Shea stats. Democrat Joe Biden will be sworn in as the president, number 46, on the 20th of January. And Democrats have control of Congress by achieving a voting majority in both the House and Senate. Over the last 60 years, the S&P 500 has gained 11.8% per year total return when one party controls the White House, the Senate, and the House. That's from BTN Research. The number of billionaires in the United States has increased 9% since mid-March of 2020 to 659. That is from the Institute for Policy Studies. Through 9/30/20, so September 30th of 20, 65% of the mortgages that were originated in the United States year-to-date were refis of existing mortgages. That's from Inside Mortgage Finance. I thought this one was interesting. More new brokerage accounts, an estimated 10 million, were opened during the calendar year 2020 than any other year in U.S. history. And that's from JMP Securities. Here's a COVID stat. 81% of COVID-19 deaths nationwide as of December 30th, 2020, were Americans at least age 65. Just 1% of the COVID-19 deaths nationwide as of the end of December 2020 were Americans under the age of 35. And that's from the National Center for Health Statistics. 65% of 451 information technology, so IT executives in the United States that were polled in June of 2020, anticipate that their firm's work-from-home policy would be permanent or at the very least long-term in duration. And that's from a 451 research. And to end with this one, for those of you who do like working from home, 80% of 1,388 American workers surveyed in June and July of 2020 say that they would prefer to work at least 3 days a week from home after the pandemic is brought under control. And that's from the Global Workplace Analytics. On that note, for those of you who are listening live on the radio, don't forget that you can listen to the show on the app on your phone or online. Those are your Shea Stats for today. Have a good one.
Shea Pataja with the Shea Stats there. I was going to ask Dennis Prout and Heidi a question here. More new brokerage accounts were opened during last year, 2020, than any other year in U.S. history. Why? Any idea?
It's a general sign of euphoria by those who are investing.
Really?
And is not a good indicator for the price of the stock market because, unfortunately, sheep tend to get sheared. And it's an indicator generally of overpriciness, if you will, in the U.S. stock market, and especially from those assets perhaps that are riskier in nature. So,
65% of the mortgages that were originated were refis, which means people have more money in their pocket every month.
Right.
Those people that are still earning the same income they had before COVID, that
That's
is.
That's right.
Yeah. Right. And, I mean, that actually really doesn't surprise me because the rates are so low that it really pushed a lot of people who were like, you know, I mean, maybe on the fence previously whether they should get one. And why not put some more money in your monthly budget like we were talking about at the beginning of the show and maybe work a few less hours than 80?
Yeah. You bet. Huge in terms of paying those mortgages off early and saving a significant amount. So why not?
Why not?
It's another great financial boon for those who are trying to advance their net worth.
All right.
So Heidi, do you have the new uniform lifetime table?
I don't have the new one. I have the old one.
And it's out of date here in 2022 because life expectancies are increasing. That means for those of you distressed about the fact that you have to take this much in your RMDs, you'll have to take less. Well, a conversation a couple of days ago with a client, he said, is this less than what I was previously taking for my RMDs? Well, no one had to take an RMD or required minimum distribution in 2020. Those are re-upping again or starting again in 2021. And in this particular situation, it was up by more than 20% the amount that they have to take this year. So he was quite surprised. Well, come to find out, obviously he's older, and the amounts increased in his retirement accounts, causing that increase. Now, what will drive it downward, the amounts that you have to take, will be these new life expectancy tables, which is more reflective of how long we're living.
Yeah, and that could be a surprise for some people because last year, like you just said, we didn't people did not have to take those RMDs, so they were allowed to keep funds in their IRAs. Mm-hmm. And so not only did the market go up, you had more money in your IRA than you would have, and all these things add up to maybe a little bit higher this year than maybe you anticipated. So you can check that out with your financial advisor.
Because these new RMD ages have gone up to the age of 72, it's only giving you more flexibility to determine and make your own planning decisions regarding, should I take some more out? Should I convert more to my Roth IRA? Should I continue contributing if I still have a job to my Roth 401k, my Roth IRA?
A bigger QCD than I did.
Exactly. Stuff so like that. Those qualified charitable distributions can come out at your age 70 and a half. That can be a significant planning benefit for those of you who are charitably minded. It just goes on and on in terms of, again, flexibility and planning options that you have. This universe continues to expand and grow as our telescopes gain in strength. I don't know why I use that as an illustration, Ron. It probably makes no real sense. But we're finding more and more planets out there.
Abstract. That's okay. I have a question here. Just
sure.
popped up. I'm looking at my screen, and it says new jobless claims spike more than they thought. 965,000 apply for unemployment. We have a little unrest, if anyone's noticed, in Washington, D.C., yet the NASDAQ, the Dow, the S&P, the Russell are all up today. Any idea, Dennis, what our investors are thinking about?
I can only guess that it's the significant government stimulus that's around the corner from the new administration. But you know, honestly, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
For those who claim to know, it'll be interesting to see what they have to say, but I haven't been looking at the tea leaves here yet this morning to see what they're saying.
Always a surprise.
It is. I mean, it's climbing a wall of worry, as it often does. The prices are quite high. They could indeed go higher if the tax increases aren't too onerous and the spending amounts aren't too significant. We'll see whether or not that legislative overreach is too great given the power change that just has occurred in Washington, D.C.
And I think that the regulatory aspect would play into that as well. Mm. How much regulation is going to come back in to play in some of these different situations?
That's right. It's a great point. And if the economy continues to improve for, I'll just say, the mom and pop industries, which needs to start happening. The restaurant industry, as an example, if they're able to get rolling again, that will be significant for our overall economy. We need those things to start happening. Let's hope for the best, eh?
Yes. All right. Here's to 2021. Dennis Prout, Heidi Thompson, thanks for being in today.
Thanks, Ron.
Prout Financial Design. It's New Retirement Radio, and if you want to hear the entire show, if you didn't today, you can always hear Saturday replay at 9 a.m.
You bet.
That's right.
Everything else is available at proutfinancialdesign.com.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.